We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Going to take it. Touchdown. Breeze able to step into this one. This one's up for grabs and picked.
And the Chiefs are heading to the AFC Championship game.
Only Andy Reid gets it shotgun up front to the knees.
Dale Arnold.
And the Green Bay Packers moving on to the NFC Championship.
Jackson fires, and that will be intercepted in the end zone by Johnson.
And now they are going to the AFC Championship.
Rich Keefe.
You guys put a little extra something on the game?
I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel, it's not even funny.
Dalen Keefe with Fitzy.
It's Mary Proppins
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dalen Keefe with Fitzy. No Dale today, Sports Radio WEEI. You can join the program, 617-779-7937. You can tweet at the show, at Dale Keefe, WEEI. And you can stream us anywhere on WEEI.com. or the radio.com app. Of course, reacting to the divisional round that we saw this weekend, but also a huge story in the NFL, Fitzy, is it looks like this Deshaun Watson situation is not getting any better for the Houston Texans. Adam Schefter tweeted out yesterday, there is a growing sense from people in and around the Texans organization that Deshaun Watson has played his last snap for the team. It's early in the offseason. There's a lot of time left. But Watson's feelings cannot and should not be underestimated.
The Friday night tweet.
Hawk Harrelson, he gone. He's gone.
He's gone.
You should not trade a top five quarterback in the league who is in his mid-20s, but this is a disaster down there. And I'm telling you, he is going to be traded.
Yes, he will. If I could bet on it now, don't know, yeah. Shime, if we can find some place where we can make a little Super Bowl money.
Let's get some juice.
Let's get Mary Proppins on this one. I would bet on him being traded. That tweet Friday night, I was at a 2, now I'm at a 10.
Yes.
That wasn't a joke. Like, the fact that he's telling people via his own social media, he is 5 times angrier than he has ever been with the organization over their hiring, over lying to him, over not giving him a bigger say at the table. He's done. Dunsky, Gonski.
One of the great quotes in there, because people were wondering if they got rid of Jack Easterby, would that solve things? And there was an article on ESPN that said, I guess some other unnamed source said, no, Cal McNair would have to fire Cal McNair to actually smooth this over. The owner, I don't think he wants to play for the owner. And that's the one guy that's not going anywhere. They still haven't hired a head coach. We'll get into the jobs that have been snatched up and which ones are still available. They hired Nick Caserio. Deshaun Watson was pissed about that.
Yep.
I think more so because he didn't have any say in it, and they told him that he would. Maybe not necessarily that it was Nick Caserio, but he was like, you told me I would have input. I had no input. And then I find out, like, on Twitter that Caserio got the job. They were 4-12 this year. And the line about the I was at a 2, now I'm at a 10, I guess also goes back to the DeAndre Hopkins trade, which
right.
I would have thought would have really set him off a year ago. Apparently it didn't. He was more at a 2 as far as anger meter. And then now, with everything going on, he's at a 10. We talked to Peter King last week, and he said, all right, the draft is in April. So basically, the Texans have between now and April to convince Deshaun Watson to stay or try to get the biggest trade haul since Herschel Walker.
It's the or. I don't understand how they could possibly convince him to stay. What do they offer him now? Okay, so the Bieniemy interview that he wanted earlier, has or has not happened, or what has
it has not happened.
It has not.
The enemy said he's got not going to do any more Zoom calls until the Chiefs are done. And the last thing I heard or I read from Schefter was that the enemy hasn't even said if he will do the interview with the Texans.
Right, because why would he want to consider that job if the quarterback that he would want to take the job because of isn't even there?
Why he might want to consider it is because they're running out of jobs.
True.
They're hiring guys left and right over here. So
teams don't wait anymore. If you're in the playoffs, if you are an assistant coach on a team that makes it deep into the playoffs, you're not getting a job. Like, Brian Daboll probably isn't going to be a head coach now because he's on a team that's in the AFC Championship game, which is insane.
Unless he gets... Like Cal McNair throws a giant suitcase or like a blank check and says, name your price.
Because I do think Caserio, it would look worse. Like, he's not going to bring in McDaniels, but he could bring in Daboll, who obviously has a long working relationship with him, too.
Correct.
I do think Daboll could go to the Texans unless he looks at it and is like, what is going on there? You got Jack Easterby, you got the owner, you're probably going to trade Watson. It's the worst. It is the worst job that came open. There were seven openings.
That's tough,
Texans
though, because the Lions' job
Jets
is
and
job
Lions.
Rich. The Lions' job is awful. They're going to be in like cap hell. They may move on from their quarterback. Their two best receivers are going to be gone. The defense stinks, even though
ton of money on it. Redeeming value? Like right now, the Texans. I guess maybe I'll feel differently about the job if you tell me what they get in return for Watson, because I don't think Watson's going to be there. And that was the only reason why I had the Texans' job ranked a little bit higher when we first did that little exercise, because I'm like, all right, you got Watson. Didn't realize just how pissed he was. So if you trade him, if you get Tua, I don't really like Tua all that much. So you get Tua and a couple more draft picks. It doesn't make it a great job. And you're the team that just got rid of Deshaun Watson. And J.J. Watt's old. He's not very good anymore. Will Fuller's a free agent. You still have David Johnson. Like, your team, that's not a very good team.
No.
That you won four
not.
Games with Watson. What are you going to win without him?
One game, if that.
You're going to win all
game. That team is bad. From top to bottom, without Deshaun Watson, that team is garbage.
They're going to be super bad next year. But that if that head coach is kind of has his designs on being able to just build the team from scratch, like, okay, so we have a gutted roster, but now we're going to get all these first-round picks, and maybe we'll get some talent and some seconds. Like, we're going to give you a guaranteed 5 years or six-year deal. We're going to give you plenty of time to rebuild, because that is, you want to talk about not going to be an overnight job. It's going to take forever for them to write their books and then put legitimate talent on the field. They stink now.
I know it's not going to happen, but we're playing radio. We do it every Monday through Friday from 10 to 2.
Name of the game.
If the Texans are taking calls for Deshaun Watson and you're the Patriots, what could you say to them where they don't hang up in the first 2 seconds?
Well, so now y'all saying radio. Got it.
Yes, Keyshawn. Is there anything that you can say where they don't just laugh in your face and hang up?
Hello, this is not the Patriots. We'd like to offer you players for Deshaun Watson.
We have picks and players.
Offer them the James Harden trade.
You still there?
Three first-round picks and four pick swaps.
Pick swaps up.
Are you allowed to? Yeah. Like, you can't... Like, when you swap picks in the NFL, you have to declare what the pick swaps are. You can't do it the way they do it in the NBA, right?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like
I know you can't qualify picks, like protected picks and stuff like that, like you can in the NBA.
No, they do conditional picks. Yeah. It's all based on like how far you go or if you re-sign. All
but
that
the conditional
nonsense.
Picks are generally somewhere in the third to like sixth round
all
range.
Right, so you have the 15th pick.
Mm-hmm.
You have your first rounder for the next couple of years also, right? You haven't traded away any first rounders. So you have first round picks from here all the way till the end of time.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly.
So you would probably have to trade at least three of those.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably send them J.C. Jackson.
I think they don't want Stephon. Why would they want Stephon?
No,
why
want
would
Gilmore.
Stephon Gilmore? I've seen people mentioning that all weekend. Right. Like, what do you people think? No. Why would a top five cornerback in the league want to go there for a new contract, and why would they want him? Because you don't need a great cornerback on the team that stinks.
I think you send him the 2018 playoff run DVD, and you say, Sony Michel's yours. You can have him. No, but in all seriousness, like the young players that they have that are good, I guess it'd be like Onwenu, who I don't want to trade.
Nope.
I guess you could technically franchise and trade Joe Tooney.
Yeah, I don't think they would want him for that price.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but then theoretically, they would then give him a new contract. Would be the idea behind that.
So they would have a $16 million a year guard on a team with no quarterback?
It's not doable, is it? It'd be like J.C. Jackson, Kyle Duggar, 3 first-round picks. That's not going to do it.
I would give them...
You have no shot at them.
I would give them... I would say you can have Damian Harris, J.C. Jackson, 2 firsts and a second.
And they hang up the phone.
Yeah, they'll say, "Are you going to complete your offer? What else you got in there?" We're still listening.
Shiny watch.
We're listening to the
Patriots. Just don't have enough capital.
No, they don't. When you look at the capital that teams like Miami and the Jets and possibly San Francisco, it seems like these are the three teams now that are kind of like in the sweepstakes for Deshaun Watson.
What if they say we want Jake Bailey and we won't do the deal without Jake Bailey? No.
Deal breaker.
Never.
You hang up the phone. Now you hang up the phone. The best player in the entire NFL is not available.
I also think that even if they had a much more competitive offer, I think it would be tough for Nick Caserio to make that his first move, to send him back to New England. I think he'd get destroyed down there. Like,
he'd get run out of town.
He'd get destroyed regardless. But to send him right back to New England, I think he's kind of...
The only way you could even like do that with any kind of credibility, if you were getting the Miami-style haul, where you're getting like 2 first-round picks this year, next year, and Tua, it's like, okay, then maybe like at least you're getting a massive haul. But from the Patriots, you can't even get that.
Now, as a Patriots fan, you're hoping that he gets traded to San Francisco or somewhere like that. But I think more realistically, he probably goes to Miami or New York, and now... You're really scrambling. Now you're really looking up in the division because you'd have Buffalo, you'd have Miami. And I think the Miami one makes a lot of sense. And it's just how many extra ones and twos do they have to include. But if you trade number 3, number 18, and Tua, that's not – for a guy who's unhappy and doesn't want to be there, again, you're not going to get equal value for Deshaun Watson. But I think you can sell your fan base, hey, we're swapping out one quarterback for another. Again, I personally don't like Tua, but I'm sure some people do. And you could say there's upside, young guy. Whoever you get at number 3 is going to be really good. Or you could even flip 3 and get a bunch of picks, right? That might be where people jump up to get Wilson, or that might be where people jump up to get Fields or whatever. So you could flip that, and now you're just swimming in picks. And now you let Nick Caserio say, all right, you know, you're supposed to be able to build a roster here. Your call.
Just swimming in picks. Yeah. To the Deshaun Watson to San Francisco thing, that's optimal for 2 reasons if you're the Patriots, because A, you keep him out of the AFC East, and B, that means Jimmy GQB has shaken free, which means you might actually be able to get a quarterback.
Can we stop with the Jimmy GQB thing, man?
Thank you.
Send him into the sun. Why? Do not bring him back to New England.
How is he not better than what you had at the quarterback
I don't care.
Position last year?
I'd rather tank another year and draft high next year than tie my boat to Jimmy Garoppolo.
What kind of boat you got?
Yeah.
It's a nice little tugboat.
Not a schooner?
Why do you have a tugboat? Why not? I figure you strike me as the kind of guy, you wouldn't have a whaler, maybe like a pontoon boat.
I'm the friendly guy out on the water that helps you bring your broken down boat to shore.
You're just towing boats in.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a friendly guy. And not tying one to Jimmy Garoppolo.
100%. I'm going to leave him on the open ocean.
He is fragile.
But he's also not Jarrett Stidham or Cam Newton, and Belichick loves
There's
him.
A lot of people not named Jarrett Stidham or Cam Newton available. You can go get Chad freaking Henne if you want.
No, stop.
Shime. All right, that's a little too much. But still.
Shime, I tell you to take a lap, but you'll probably slip in the coffee.
I'm in on Jameis. I'd rather have Mitch Trubisky than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, stop it. At least Trubisky knows the dollar store version of Mariota. Mitch Trubisky, stop it.
I would rather have Mitch Trubisky as well.
Give me Marcus Mariota. I'll take him, too.
You have to trade for him.
I'll take Taylor Heinicke.
Taylor Heinicke. Guy can play. He can spin it. He can run.
11-15. You guys both said you would rather have Taylor Heinicke than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep, mark it. Book it.
Yep.
Being paid to work in sports radio, both of you said you would rather have
run it back with Cam and just hate my life for 16 games than bring in Garoppolo.
All right, well, Shem, you've now gone too far, sir.
Well, no, if I'm tying myself to Garoppolo
again,
for multiple years,
do it.
I will not do it. It would be a
blessing. Deshaun Watson goes out of conference, and then you get a free quarterback in return, as opposed to Deshaun.
He's not free, though. And you're going to have to give him a couple years. You're not going to be able to sign him to a one-year deal. Somebody's going to give him a better offer than that.
Wouldn't Jimmy go to the Texans?
You sign him to the Teddy Bridgewater deal, 3 for $63.
Why would you go to the Texans?
Because they're trading for him. They need a quarterback.
They're getting. I think they could do better.
So they're going to trade for $20 million.
If that whole slew of New England people in Houston hates Jimmy Garoppolo, they're going to love him. They're going to want him back. They're not getting like a second overall pick where they can just draft a quarterback. They're not just going to sign someone.
But you think Casario loves Garoppolo? I guess that'd be a good question. I don't know.
All the New England people love him for some reason. Like, this isn't a matter. Like, we can yell about whether we would take him or not.
But
Bill Belichick would take him.
John, have you ever stared into his eyes?
Who, Jimmy? Yeah.
Belichick's?
And just that's like staring
they look
Medusa.
Right through your soul.
Jimmy's got a nice chin, but like, that's fine. It's not going to help you
win
football
games.
So,
do you think Belichick would take Garoppolo back?
Yesterday.
Belichick would. Probably.
Yesterday.
Unfortunately.
Absolutely.
No, he would. He's still texting him, probably. Like, at the unlimited plan.
I miss you. It's that Wolverine meme.
A lot of emojis.
So, what's the package? So,
yeah,
the Wolverine
photo.
Meme. So, what's the package the Jets could put? What's the Jets package that they could put together?
They have the number 2 overall pick.
Yep.
They have the number, is it 23? They have 2 first-rounders this year. I think they have 2 first-rounders next year.
Yep, Jamal Adams trade. They have 2 this year and 2 next year.
Oh, my God.
What I just said. We've got an echo in here. They have Sam Darnold.
I said another name, though.
You said Jamal Adams. Great. People don't care where the picks came from. They have the picks. So they have 2 this year, 2 next year, and Sam Darnold. So let me ask you this. What's just on the surface of it, Sam Darnold in the 2 pick or Tua in the number 3 pick? Just that alone, what's more enticing to you?
Sam Darnold in the 2.
Tua and the 3.
So, by the way, Tua has only been under contract 1 year. Sam Darnold's been in the league 3.
Yeah, you're going to have to give Darnold a new contract soon, and Tua you don't.
That's why I would go with the Tua and the 3.
Sam Darnold is coming in on an audition, and I am drafting my quarterback of the future, Justin Fields. You're telling me I can get Sam Darnold for an audition year before we decline his 5th-year option.
I don't think you're maximizing your value if you make that trade and then you take 2 quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's dumb. Like,
no,
if you're getting Tua, you're getting a guy that still has the potential to be a
but
franchise
Tua
quarterback.
Might Tua.
Here's Fitzy explaining why
Tua
taking the number 2
stink.
Pick quarterback and
5 quarterbacks.
And listen.
Yeah, but you can't make that assumption
Ooh,
that Tua stinks after one half a season. That he played
now
okay, not bad.
No. Like, I would do that because I want that number 2 pick. I want nobody else getting a chance to take the quarterback of the future that I want. If you're going to give me Sam... Ooh, I had no idea that there was a hook
off stage and pull you off right now.
There was a muted trumpet solo at the end. I like the trumpet with
first Jimmy Garoppolo, now he'd rather have Sam Darnold over Tua.
Because I want the number 2 pick so nobody else can steal my quarterback. All right.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you would have the number 2 pick and Darnold. That's the whole reason why we're saying the Jets are going
to
trade one
like,
of them.
That,
so now you're going to acquire
to
both
me,
of them?
With that number 2 or 3
like
pick,
Darnold's
you take the
a
best non-quarterback.
Darnold's
he's
not necessarily a freebie. He could be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Mm.
No? Mm. All right.
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan. I don't think the Patriots should go after Sam Darnold.
What would he go for in a trade right now? A 2?
A 3?
Rob Bradford thought he would go. You guys saw that tweet that Bradfo had me put up Saturday when he filled in for Ken Laird.
Well, who would
Bradfo forced you to put that tweet up?
Well,
yeah, it was a gunpoint.
Gun to your head.
We were hungry for content.
I won't publish a column this week.
Bradfo, I'm going to be a little late this week with the armchair GM. Can I buy some time with a Saturday tweeter poll? He thought he would go for a 1.
The article is just a link to your tweet. What is this?
As long as it gets the page views, guys. So I think they'd get a 3 for Darnold.
Rosen go for?
Initially he went for a two.
He got a 2 for Josh Rosen. He stinks.
Yeah, but that you hadn't seen him play that much, so they still thought like you've seen Darnold play now. Sam Darnold's not Garoppolo. Sam Darnold's also
and Darnold
not Josh
only
Rosen.
Has 1 year left on that contract. If you're not picking up the 5th-year extension, so it's like, am I really going to pay a 2 for 1 year? Whereas. You know, I'd rather give up a 3 or 4.
Now that we have the context of what Tannehill did when he broke free of Adam Gase, we have that same thing with Darnold now, and I feel like that is almost like a built-in brings it up to a 2.
I'm with you.
Because Tannehill went for a 4.
Anybody outside of Gase, grab anybody from the Jets. They might be good. They might be good. They've been playing under Adam Gase for 2 years. There's a chance they're good.
Frank
Gore good?
Frank Gore's always been good.
Frank Gore's a special breed. I think we all realize that. So Tannehill went for a 4.
Who did? Well, he went for a four, but they did like an offset thing where the
Titans. It was all money.
The Dolphins like paid out half of his contract so that the Titans would take him for a four. Like they were trying to get rid of him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that
okay.
one was weird.
Well, I mean, if I'm the Texans and I know for a fact that nobody else, like if I'm in love with Zach Wilson or if I'm in love with Justin Fields, I take that higher pick just because I want to make sure that nobody else can get my guy.
Yeah.
Like maybe Nick Caserio thinks, okay, well, this Deshaun Watson thing is out to sea. No Chris Scheim tugboat can come rescue us now. So I gotta.
What is with all the boating metaphors today?
I gotta. Looks like we're gonna need a bigger boat. Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Sorry, your time is up, everybody. There's a way though that if they trade Watson and they end up with three firsts and a player or something like that.
Yeah.
Then you end up with like Justin Fields and then like a JJ Watt replacement. Like you get a lineman or an elite cornerback. And Fields and you know, a player to be named later next year with another first. Like, that's the beginning of a rebuild. That's the honest-to-God beginning of a rebuild. So I'm looking at that. I look at the Jets pick before Miami. Obviously, both attractive. Yeah.
But pretty crazy when you really stop and think that Deshaun Watson is probably going to get traded. Like, yep. He just absolutely shouldn't. It's the number 23 pick is the other Jets pick. So it's 2-23 mm-hmm. or 3-18. Ooh. And then Darnold, Tua, future ones, and all that other stuff included.
I bet
so
that
it's
actually.
It's pretty similar.
I bet 2-23 is actually worth 3-18.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. I don't know, but there's always some trade evaluation chart that'll tell you something along those lines.
Yeah, the Jimmy Johnson chart. Let's take a look at the old big board.
This is 100%, but whoever you take him for, whoever you're a bigger believer in the draft or current quarterback, and I can't believe that I read a rumor that Nick Bosa could be part of the San Francisco package. You want to talk about being able
what?
To, yeah.
Wow. That guy was misquoted, to be fair. The guy who was being quoted by the tweet you're referencing replied to it and was like, yeah, I didn't say that.
Okay.
Sure you did.
But you said it. That's why
he's
it was
not, what the guy reported was that the 49ers are going to put together a package to offer the Texans and that Nick Bosa could eventually be added to it, but he won't be in the initial package.
Stop.
They have like a million front seven guys that are elite, so I'm sure one of them would go if they were to actually pull the trigger.
They'll probably trade one of them. But all right, let's go to the phones right now. We have Josh in Maine. He joins us next. What's going on, Josh?
Nothing, guys. How you doing?
Good.
How are you, buddy?
Good. I just had a question. Do you think Belichick would trade within a division like that for Sam Darnold, if he sees something in him that much to trade?
I think Belichick would. I don't know if the Jets would.
Right.
But I think Belichick would.
Yeah, that's a good point. And yeah, because, I mean, if you look back to the Lawyer Malloy trade, I guess.
They cut Malloy, but they traded a couple years later. They traded Drew Bledsoe to the Bills. So the fact that they would do that kind of – Belichick will do, I think, whatever trades. I don't think he really cares. But I think the Jets, I don't know if they would do it. I don't know if they would do it.
Yeah, all right. Hey,
thanks, Josh. Because they could – even if Deshaun Watson has nothing to do with the Jets, say there's no trade to the Jets, mm-hmm. they might still very easily trade Sam Darnold, right? Because they might just take whoever they like it to and move on from Darnold. But would they flip him to the Patriots? They should. If it's the best deal, they should. But I don't think that they would.
Wouldn't that be awful to have Darnold suddenly get good and then have him come back to bite you in the ass for 10 years? Like, that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, but if they're the only one offering you a two, like, you can't be scared like that.
No, you'd
now,
have to take the equity.
If the deals are all close, I could see you being like, all right, well, the tiebreaker, I don't want to trade with you. Last year when they traded Demaryius Thomas, or 2 years ago, to the Jets, that was like the first deal ever between the Pats and Jets.
It was the last time that they traded. The last time that the Bills or the Patriots and the Jets traded was the Bill Belichick trade.
Yeah, so there you go.
Until
Demaryius Thomas. Was the head coach. Yeah. And they got two firsts for him, right?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and the Demaryius Thomas trade is one of the things that angered Brady in the final season, too. That was a stupid trade that was.
Speaking of head coaches, there were 7 openings, and it looks like more than half of them have filled up. So we'll tell you where these coaches are going, what is still available, and you can join the program as well, 617-779-7937. Dale and Keith with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
If Doug Peterson was back for the Eagles, Wentz would have wanted not to be. But now there's going to be a new coach in Philadelphia, and from what I understand, the Eagles brass has told coaching candidates that they not only are open to bringing Carson Wentz back, but want to bring Carson Wentz back. They think he is fixable. They think he is salvageable. They did request permission to speak with Eric Bieniemy, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, who has had several interviews this process. And today, they're meeting with Josh McDaniels, the Patriots offensive coordinator, known for his work with quarterbacks.
Back here on Dale and Keefe with Fitzy. No Dale today, just Keefe and Fitzy taking it up until 2 o'clock. And Fitzy, we had 7 head coach openings.
Yes, sir.
After the season.
Had.
Chargers, Jaguars, Texans, Falcons, Eagles, Lions, Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And we have gotten some hires. The Jets went with Robert Saleh. The Jaguars went with Urban Meyer. Falcons, Arthur Smith. Chargers, Brandon Staley. Kind of out of nowhere. The Rams defensive coordinator going there.
Yep.
The Detroit Lions are apparently really closing in on Dan Campbell.
Oh, my God.
The PC
Oklahoma
principal.
Oklahoma Drill Charlie.
Who was with the Dolphins for a little bit. Unbelievable. So that leaves the Texans and the Eagles. Obviously, the Texans have a whole lot going on. We were just talking about the potential Deshaun Watson trade and everything else. And then also, the Philadelphia Eagles, who were the last team to fire their coach, Doug Peterson. They gave it a few days after the last game of the season. They canned Doug Peterson. We heard about Gerard Mayo interviewing with them. Mm-hmm. But now it sounds like Josh McDaniels, where everything was quiet on the McDaniels front for a while, but it seems like he has emerged as maybe the favorite to get that job.
That would shock me. That would absolutely be a shocker if McDaniels, out of nowhere, gets but one interview and then goes to the Eagles. I never would have imagined that they would have interest in McDaniels because, from what I'd gathered, they too, like the Jets, were looking for somebody organizationally minded, and they're coming off of having a former offensive coordinator as their head coach.
Yeah.
And so I thought that they would have gone in a different direction. Usually you don't follow up something that ultimately doesn't pan out with a variation on what just didn't pan out for you. So basically you're saying like, oh, the offensive coordinator we beat in the Super Bowl, we think he'll be a better head coach than the guy who helped beat him 2 years ago, who we just fired.
Correct.
Oh, and also, by the way, we're kind of in cap hell and we're in need of a major rebuild as well. So good luck, Josh.
And we don't know who our quarterback's going to be.
Nope. And we've pissed off the former franchise quarterback.
Right.
And we decided to pull the next potential franchise quarterback in the final game because we thought Sudfeld would be the better. Obviously, we know
it
why
seems
Peterson's
like,
out.
To me, Daboll and Bieniemy would both be better hires. But
yep,
we shall see. All right, let's go back to the phones right now. We have Dave in Connecticut. He joins us next. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I got a trade that I think should happen.
Okay.
Cincinnati Bengals should get on the phone with the New York Jets and say, we want Sam Darnold. And the, you know, second, third round pick, whatever you got to get for him, gives them a bridge quarterback until Burrow comes back. And if Burrow happens to not look good or look like he can come back, then they can pick up the fifth year option, see if Darnold's going to be anything. They got potential to sign him for the future. And then the Jets, rather than giving up a ton for Watson, can pick their use their second pick to get their quarterback for the future. And they're not losing anything. They're actually gaining something to further build their team. I think it would be an ideal trade for both teams.
I like it. I think the Bengals, that's a good one too, because the Bengals are one of those teams where they don't need a long-term quarterback, but they do need a quarterback. And that's why we brought up, you know, Cam Newton as a guy who, like, there's not a starting job for Cam, but there might be that, you know, holdover position until Burrow is ready. But yeah, they could do a lot worse than Sam Darnold. That's not a bad one.
Although, would Cincinnati be ginger averse after having gone through Andy Dalton all those years?
They could be anti-ginger.
They could be. At this point, could be the only rule. But if this, if
like
they,
you just shave your head, why?
Yeah, why? Just, why? Just and my eyebrows? Wow, that's pretty extreme. But okay, whatever,
everything.
Guys. I'm just happy to be starting.
Must go.
But think about this. This is actually a really smart trade because you have a guy who can start for the year while Burrow rehabilitates. Though Burrow's been tweeting out footage of him walking, so I'm sure he probably thinks, like, hey, I'm ahead of the timeline. Even Miguel could walk again in season 3 of Cobra Kai. Maybe I can play quarterback next year. Doubt it. I think it would be a little bit of a reach for Burrow to come back next year, considering how late that multi-ligament injury was.
Right.
But with Darnold, like, if he plays great, okay, great. You got a good quarterback for the year. And if Burrow does come back the following year and he's healthy, now you've got a chip with Darnold. Like, you show everybody, hey, it was New York and it was Gase, so now we could trade Sam Darnold away as well, too. So I actually kind of like that a lot.
Let's go to Keith on the Cape. He's up next. What's up, Keith?
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, like, I was listening to you guys earlier, like, you know, you had the Jets pick or Miami. One of the things I was also thinking of is the Jets are honestly probably going to suck for, like, the next 2 or 3 years. So also looking at the picks for this year, also looking at the ones for the, like, following 2 or 3 years, maybe getting better, you know, standing picks with them since they're going to be bad. And then also another long shot I was thinking was the Atlanta Falcons, maybe moving on from Matt Ryan, maybe them with Houston. I mean, they have Julio Jones, Jesse's on his way out, but then you have someone young with Calvin Ridley, maybe get that receiver and, you know, quarterback combo. I just kind of wanted your thoughts on those two people and, like, are those two teams, and you think that might be something down the line.
No, thanks, Keith, for the call. And the Falcons have the 4th pick, so, I mean, that's pretty enticing. They could probably get involved if they wanted to. Are they ready to move on from Matt Ryan, or are they going to kind of play that out for another couple of years? I think that's probably what it comes down to.
Well, shouldn't we ask the Arthur Smith worshippers?
Oh, the fan base back there? He could probably take anybody, right?
What was the question?
You love Matt
Thanks
Ryan,
for
John.
To the show.
You love Matt Ryan, yes. And also you guys love Arthur Smith, their new head coach.
Correct.
Or as a PFT commenter,
money, but...
as PFT or... commenter nicknamed him Thickless Cage, which was I thought was spectacular. So do you think the Falcons would move on from him, and that Arthur Smith is going to want to get, like, some new young quarterback that will meet up?
Not necessarily.
No,
I think he wants to see what he has in Matt Ryan first. I think
how do you not know what you have in Matt Ryan?
Well, so I mean, he hasn't been able to have the opportunity.
Not
to
enough
work
tape
with Matt
on
Ryan.
Him.
But having seen what Kyle Shanahan did with Matt Ryan, which was only a couple years ago, it's not like it was 10 years ago now. It was only 3 or 4 years ago what Kyle Shanahan was able to do with an offense with Matt Ryan. I think Arthur Smith feels plenty comfortable using Matt Ryan to the best of his abilities while also excelling with Calvin Ridley and what's left of Julio Jones.
Right, and Hayden Hurst. They need a new running back as well. There have been a bunch of mocks, Rich, that have had, and again, everyone's just playing radio or playing, you know, playing GM.
Sure, that's the name of the game. Play blog.
That's name of the game. That's what they do. Yep. So there have been a bunch of mocks I've read that either have Zach Wilson or Trey Lance going to Atlanta.
I don't think they're going to do it. I think their offense is very well built to win still for a couple years, that it would almost be a waste if they draft a quarterback right now. They really need defense. They don't have a whole lot of pieces on defense. They have some good places. Like, they got a good DN. They got a good corner.
I don't get how they went with an offensive head coach, and then some of these other teams went defensive head coaches where they probably should have gone offense.
Like, well, they went with the course correct. What NFL teams always do, they went with a defensive coach last time. Nah, that didn't work. Let's go offensive coach. Or they go young offensive mind. Nah, that doesn't work. Let's go old grizzled defensive guy. Like, that's just what NFL teams do.
Yeah, but, like, exactly. I just feel like get the right guy. Just because the guy was offense.
Arthur Smith is a really good right guy. Like,
no, I like Arthur Smith. I'm just saying, I don't know. Like, I think the Chargers... Like, the Chargers and Falcons should have switched head coaches. Like, I feel like Staley would have been better for the Falcons and Smith would have been better for the Chargers.
Exactly. And this goes back to why I can't imagine that they would hire Josh McDaniels in Philadelphia, because going by Shime's principle of course correction and hiring coaches, you just had an offensive-minded coach in Doug Peterson. Mm-hmm. And so now you would think that a defensive-minded coach would possibly get an interview or get a shot
in
Philadelphia.
But I think their offense is a mess, and they just need to figure out Wentz and Hurts. There was a story over the weekend about Carson Wentz that came out and how the owner has, like, basically a giant fathead of Carson Wentz in his office.
Loves him.
Like, and apparently there's, like, really damning quotes. I forget, was it – it was some – I'll find it during the break. But – it was pretty damning about Carson Wentz, how he's viewed in the Eagles organization. It's as though he had won the Super Bowl. That was, like, one of the lines. It's like they treat Wentz like he's the Super Bowl champion there, and it's just bizarre how much they love him and how much input he was getting on the team. It was like what Deshaun Watson wants in Houston is like what Carson Wentz was getting already.
Already.
And there's, like, a hero complex for him.
So
it's
bizarre. So do you, and it's just amazing that the statue that's in front of the stadium, sponsored by Bud Light, of the illegal formation play from Super Bowl 52. Now neither of the people in that statue are with the team, just 2 years removed from that Super Bowl.
That quickly.
But I wonder if Philadelphia, in some ways, Rich, is just bringing in as many people as possible. I know you're only allowed a certain number of like Zoom calls or initial interviews.
Right.
But are they just trying to interview as many people from across the football mind spectrum, asking all of them, okay, so if you were us and you had a crap show at quarterback like an angry Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, what would you do? Because I literally think now that you mention this, they have no idea which way they want to go.
Or they really want to stick with Carson Wentz, and they're looking for someone that's willing to say, oh, yeah, I could win games with Carson Wentz, and nobody's saying it.
It was I don't understand.
He doesn't stink.
Yes,
he does. It was in the Inquirer. It was written by Jeff McClain. It says, inside Carson Wentz's turbulent season and the forces behind his regression. It's a super long article, but it just talks about how so many members of the front office like think the guy's the greatest, and then just a whole disaster. And Peterson, what's weird is Peterson, good chance he's out because of Wentz, but Wentz might not even be your starter. Like, whoever the head coach is stepping into that has got some...
I've got the paragraph you referenced, Rich. The decal, like a fathead a fan might plaster in his or her bedroom, became an inside joke among some staff about Roseman's overt affection for the Eagles' franchise quarterback, but it also became a symbol for his misdirected handling of an employee. So it's Roseman, the GM, that's got
the GM. Okay. I'm sorry, not the owner. The GM had a fathead in there of Carson Wentz.
But Shai literally had a fathead.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz. So wait, Shime, you're telling me you think a guy who was on his way in 2017 to being the league MVP before he tore his ACL stinks?
I don't think he's good. I've been out on Wentz now for years.
Well,
I mean, the year after he was on his way to his MVP, he had only threw for 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and he only won 5 of 11 games. Like, what are we, like... This guy isn't, like, he had one great season because the roster was so good. That offensive line was so good that the backups were a top five offensive line.
So I was much higher on Wentz, actually, before I read this article, and because it talks about how uncoachable he is. And so I feel like if he came to New England, and whether Josh is here or not, you still have Bill and whatever, and if he's kind of not easily coached, like, you're not good enough to just show up and do your own thing. So I wanted him before. He's lower on my list now. I think he is fixable, though, because I think he is talented. Like, you can't have the season that he had a couple of years ago.
Why would he be uncoachable?
He rebuffed advice, defied criticism, and clashed with Doug Peterson.
He could shrink back into a tight-knit group of teammates he trusted or had become isolated. That was something that was out there for a while, because remember, like, Alshon Jeffrey, basically our sister station WIP there, somebody figured out that Alshon Jeffrey was feeding all this anti-Wentz stuff to Josina Anderson because he loved Nick Foles. Because Foles would actually throw him the ball.
Yeah, interesting. I think he does. Wentz get along with Ertz and Kelsey? Yep. Maybe. I think those are his guys. But
okay.
Anyway,
well, I see again. This is why it makes too much sense that he would be traded to Indianapolis, because Frank Reich is another guy that he trusted, right? So he clashed with Peterson.
Yes.
So
yeah, he does make a ton of sense in Indy if they can make all that work.
It said they trusted Carson Wentz with draft. He had say in the draft.
In the draft.
So do you think he told them to draft Jalen Reagor ahead of
Justin Jefferson? No, there was another article written about that. I read all this Eagles crap coming out. I read that too, and it was saying how they thought Justin Jefferson was only a slot receiver. They're like, we like him too, Reagor can do more.
Yeah, real,
like,
good analysis, guys.
Nailed it.
I'm like, how can you do that? I'm some bum up here watching college, like a handful of college football games, and I was like, Justin Jefferson's the best receiver in the draft. Oh. It was simple. Jalen Reagor.
The Vikings war room when that happened. Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer. They're like, at first they're scared because the Eagles are up and they want Justin Jefferson. They're like, oh, they might need a receiver too. They're like, what's going to happen? That we might lose him.
And then they picked Reagor
and they burst into laughter. And Zimmer's like, get Jefferson on the phone. He like shouts to his assistant.
He's only a slot, they said. They go, in this offense, we don't really throw the slot enough to justify a top 22 pick. That's what
they said.
Good
call, guys.
So, whoops.
Nailed it.
Only the most electrifying young receiver we've seen in a decade.
The best. He's the best rookie receiver maybe ever. We will continue with your phone call, 617-779-7937. Busy weekend in the NFL. Still more coaching news out there. Josh McDaniels potentially to the Eagles. Also want to take a quick check-in on our guy James Harden, who made his debut with the Brooklyn Nets. We'll do all that coming up next year on Dale and Keith with Fitzy.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keith every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
Harden. Who's gone? Did Sean Marks trade everybody? Did he say, take the milk, take this, take that?
They did get something. They get James Harden.
Great.
Dribble, 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 dribble. Fat, fat, fat. Dribble, dribble, dribble. No defense, no defense, new defense. Shoot. Oh, a foul's called. He's going to the line.
Well, despite what Evan Roberts on The Fan wanted, James Harden did make his debut for the Brooklyn Nets on Saturday night. The Nets beat the Magic. Harden played 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. I know Dale didn't think his heart could take it. I know Dale was worried about his...
Dale was worried he was going to pass out.
Yeah, I thought... How about this, though? 32 points, 12 rebounds, 14 assists.
Sounds like a good night.
Not bad. Now, to Pretty be good. Fair... To be Pretty fair...
Mm-hmm. To be fair...
He did have 9 turnovers. So it wasn't like this spectacular...
Nine?
He had 9 turnovers. He was 3 of 10 from 3. So you can poke holes in some of the game. He also had 4 steals, actually. So, but he put up a triple-double. He and Durant played really well, and they got a win. Although Orlando, we saw them the night before against the Celtics. Orlando kind of falling apart after their hot start. But yeah. I think Harden's going to be fine. And there is some theory out there, Fitzy, and I don't know if you subscribe to this or not.
I love a good conspiracy theory.
We saw the pictures when he showed up game 1 in Houston.
Yep.
People focus on those photos. Unfortunately, there was some fat shaming going on.
Mm-hmm.
Which not on this program.
Not on this program. We wouldn't
do it. Who, James Harden? No.
Fitzy?
Olive Harden? Nope, not us.
We wouldn't go there because it's not about somebody's appearance. It's about what they're like on the inside. And so we didn't make those jokes. They were easy, low-hanging fruit jokes. Fruit? Not in his diet. But the point was, he shows up in Brooklyn like 48 hours after we had seen him last play, mm-hmm. and didn't he look a lot thinner?
He lost 10 pounds.
No,
at
10?
At least 10
lost
pounds.
Like 30.
Chime, he lost a good 20, 25 pounds.
So do you think...
It would be like if I traded for you and Anderson showed up.
All right, that's a little dramatic.
So some are suggesting, and I don't know, because players in all these sports,
not
they want to be traded, mm-mm. and maybe they're going to do something in order to sort of push that trade forward.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think for the first 9 games of the year with Houston, he was wearing a fat suit?
1,000%.
Like Norbit.
Again, this isn't us doing this.
Like the Nutty Professor?
Yes, like the clumps.
Yes.
Do you think he's wearing a Big Mama's fat suit?
A
like
man
a Martin
with his
Lawrence,
kind of money
Big
who
Mama's
wants
House
to...
Two, yeah.
Like Madea.
Like a Madea family Christmas.
Right.
Boo, a Madea Halloween, a Madea family funeral. Like one of these films, the fat suit from that.
By the way, just as you mentioned so many films from possibly the greatest canon of films ever, the Madea family films.
Thank you.
It's really a shame that we never were able to get an Ernest Madea crossover movie, but I digress. I mean, can you imagine the rewatchability factor on that alone?
Through the roof. Why do you think somebody didn't pick up the mantle of Ernest?
That's a great... And did you also know, by the way, the great Jim Varney, may he rest in hilarious peace, the great Jim Varney and Ernest Goes to Jail, hidden comedic gem.
They're all great.
They're all incredibly watchable. Did you know he created that character, the Hey Vern character, Ernest, basically for a Southern convenience store? So a Southern convenience store character created by some boutique ad agency turned into a multi-million dollar Hollywood franchise.
Oh, he was in so many movies and they were all so good, and I don't think he gets the credit he should or deserves.
Could you name
the guy? Was a genius.
Respect needs to be put on the name Jim Varney. Ernest is a national
he
treasure.
He saved Christmas, he went to camp, he scared stupid. All these things happened from Ernest.
Went to jail?
He went to jail, for God's sake.
Oh, my God.
Falsely accused,
of course. Now, be that as it may, how that relates to James
Harden.
Do
you think Harden was wearing some sort of fat suit to make it look like he was more out of shape than he really was?
There is absolutely no set of man spanks, no girdle you can put on that will trim you up like that to make you look sexier for your new team. He doesn't have to worry about what he looks like because the new team has completed the trade. They just gave up 3 family fortunes. They gave up their entire draft future for him. He's going to get paid. That's not what's at issue. I legitimately think he was wearing a fat suit. And I think Shime, did you first put it out this weekend among us or something? Because I read that and it just hit me like when the...
A ton of bricks.
When you have like the Kaiser Soze moment at the end of Usual Suspects, like... It was a fat suit. All the, like, look at the mug, Kaiser Soze. Oh my God, it was a fat suit all this time. How great would it be if that Norbit. Was true, Rich? How great would it be?
I don't think he could lose that amount of weight that quickly. So I feel like there it had to be some sort of
unless he was really bloated and then jumped on the TB12 diet and went into a sauna.
You think that was all water weight that he had?
A lot of water weight and like bloating from like tomatoes. Tomatoes are supposed to make you swell.
Tomatoes?
The nightshades. Yeah, that's why Tom Brady doesn't eat nightshades.
You think
your
he
muscles
swelled up
because
he had
swell.
A plate of tomatoes before
probably
that
was
photo
eating
was
too
taken?
Too many tomatoes. Yeah, ate too much ketchup with his fries.
And then as soon as the trade went down, he took tomatoes out of his diet, is what you're suggesting?
Well, yeah, when the Rockets were telling him to stay at home, he's like, you know what? Here we go. Tomatoes. Now we start dieting as we prepare to get traded.
Maybe he jogged to Brooklyn in a trash bag. That's how he lost all of it.
No, yeah, he was trying to make weight like he was on the wrestling team.
That ended in Philadelphia.
You do trash bag, then you take a stationary bicycle, put it in a sauna, get on top of the bicycle, and you're just pedaling to the pounds.
And make sure you have a plain gray sweatshirt with the hood up.
Hood has to be
totally.
Up. Hood has to be up. Yeah.
Yep.
That might have been what he did.
There's, I mean, like, did you see, like, just the girth of the man? When
yeah,
the,
oh,
that
I saw
picture,
it.
Yeah, the picture that last night in Houston when he's got his oddly similarly colored to these new vintage Philadelphia Phillies uniforms that the Brooklyn Nets have. Their City Edition shirts are that baby blue with the red text. That was very similar to the ones that the Houston Rockets are wearing. Yeah. You could see when he had his warm-up shirt tucked into his pants, like his
looked
gut
good.
Was protruding. It was
oh,
enormous.
Yeah. Before, yeah. It could have been just like some sort of suit, I believe.
And as we had discussed on Friday's show, he was still moving very well. You put on 30 pounds right now.
Oh, my God.
You would not be able to do anything that you did at even half the pace. Like, it makes a
wouldn't
massive...
be able to make it up the stairs. And that's not an overreaction. That's the reality of it. And so I think there's definitely some truth to it. And now, he never really played defense. He never really moved defensively. That was never really a problem. But
have you wanted
that'd be next level.
Have you wanted a Keith Spiracy to come true more than James Harden wearing a fat suit to get traded out of Houston?
No, that's probably at the top. Do you think Deshaun Watson, speaking of Houston, do you think all of a sudden he shows up at the facility in a fat suit?
So when James Harden gets traded.
What's up, guys? I'm here for the training, the offseason training. They're like, oh, my God, Deshaun.
Deshaun. He starts talking like Mike McCarthy, like he's got, like it sounds like he's got a donut wedged in his throat. Like,
hi, everybody.
Deshaun, what happened to you?
Good
now, James
Lord.
Harden, this is what happens. James Harden gets traded to Brooklyn, and then he calls up Deshaun, and he's like, hey.
You want that fat suit?
I went to the Whole Foods. I left my fat suit in my Amazon locker. It's down there for you. Put it on. I guarantee you'll be out of town in 2 months.
Listen, it could happen. And then the price drops so significantly, the Patriots can now get involved. Because every team around the league is like, we want a chubby quarterback? I don't know about that. Let's go back to the phones right now. We have Phil in Maine. He joins us next on Dale and Keith with Fitzy. No Dale today. What's going on, Phil?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
So earlier you guys said, and Fitzy's going to love this, you guys said who had the best Saturday weekend and who had the worst. And right. I think Tom Brady, I'm a little biased, Tom Brady did. And Bill Belichick at.
Oh, you're cutting out, Phil, but I can pick it up from there. He's saying, Fitzy, that Bill Belichick, who was not involved, had, in fact, the worst weekend. What do you think of that?
Wow.
Wow.
I think it's pretty good. I think Brady won the decision to kick Brady out the door after the season that Belichick or that Brady had and the no plan at quarterback. It was already a win for Brady, but every time he wins in the playoffs, it's just like running up the score. It's just piling on at this point, and that's what he did this weekend. Yeah.
Well, he's building a bigger lead. I still don't think it's over. I still think we need one more season. If Bill Belichick can kill the draft, have a good free agency, get the most out of the guys he has, and turn the ship around, pick a quarterback, either sign a quarterback, trade for a quarterback, or pick one in the draft that's going to be the future. He certainly will never be Tom Brady. There'll never be the likes of him again in Foxborough or under Bill Belichick of the Patriots. But if he can have a great 2021, then it evens up the score a little bit. But if Brady puts on a show, a laser show against Rodgers, and then goes to the Super Bowl and then comes back next year and uses his star power and that Super Bowl appearance to, while they lose Godwin, maybe Brown, Gronk comes back, they get in some other free agents, and he puts together another super team, then it's over.
See, I think you're right. You can't just call it now because I think both of them still have more games to play and to coach.
Yep.
I do think, though, for every great season Brady has after he left the Patriots, to really give the advantage to Bill, doesn't he need to have two for every one? Because the whole point of sticking with Bill over Brady was Bill's going to do it longer. So let's say Bill coaches 5 or 6 years without Brady at the end here, and Brady plays 2 or 3 years, and Brady has 2 or 3 great years, and Bill only has 2 or 3 out of the 6, then I feel like it's still a big, big win in favor of Brady.
Yes, and I'd ask Pats fans not to kind of pick at this old wound because it's long, long since done, but like, yeah. Would you be happier right now if they went 10-6, 11-5 this year, or if Belichick just literally did have a it's me or it's him moment with Kraft, and Kraft said, you know, I'm sticking with Tommy, and it was McDaniels and Brady going forward with only maybe a year. Now, who knows how much longer Brady would play, and if he would still look this sharp if he had a bigger say at the table and had all of the things that he wanted.
If he had Carson Wentz-like power in Philadelphia, would Tom Brady...
Or Tom Brady in Tampa power, since we right. That was a little... I know we're going to get
Peter King with Bruce Arians saying that, you know, Tom Brady wasn't allowed to coach, which, again, he's, you know, a player. But he's apparently coach and GM in Tampa Bay, so obviously he's going to enjoy that.
But, Rich, when you read that...
Yeah.
Not rather heard it, but, like, when you saw that... kind of like change the game for you a little bit? Like knowing that all this time we've been criticizing Bruce Arians for playing come to Jesus with Brady, saying like, no, it's my offense. You're going to learn things this way. I'm going to coach you. I'm going to call you out. I'm going to throw you under the bus. I'm going to do whatever I think I need to do, which flies in the face of everything Belichick had been doing. And now instead we're getting, oh yeah, no, up there, they made him come to them, and they told him how to act, how to dress, and what to do. Down here, I let him do it because he's Tom Brady. Like, that's a complete game changer as far as I'm concerned. No wonder Brady's over the moon.
Yeah, I kind of thought that would be the case, though, because you can't let him bring in Gronk and Antonio Brown, but then also not let him have any say in the plays that he's actually going to be running. So right. I think it ended up being a combination. Like, all these deep passes, of course Bruce Arians likes that. He's been doing that his entire career. So I think it ended up being sort of a bit of a hybrid. And the reason why we questioned their relationship was only because the first 8 games of the year, you know, Bruce Arians would come out and be like, oh, yeah, that pick was Brady's fault. And we were all like, oh, he publicly criticized Brady, but they're fine. I think they're fine.
I think they're 1,000% fine now.
Yeah.
They're totally. And Arians has 1 year left on his deal. He'll ride it out. Now that they've made the NFC Championship, they 1,000%. We'll run it back. It's only going to be a matter of what does the surrounding cast, the supporting cast of Tampa Bay, look like next year, because there will be some significant losses, I think, on offense and defense.
Yeah. You can join the show, 617-779-7937. We'll turn our attention back to the NFL divisional round, including Tom Brady going back to the conference championship, as he may have just eliminated Drew Brees from football altogether. That could have been Brees' final game. It's more with Dalen Keefe and Fitzy coming up next.